Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
We welcome you back. Remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. If you are a first or second-time home buyer looking for a home in Baltimore City, you need to call 1-800-638-7781 for the Maryland Mortgage Program. There just may be a place for you. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Anthony and I are about to have a conversation with three men who I think a great deal of. We are joined by Lalit Gadia, who is an attorney and was a member of the Goon Squad, which we'll talk about in a bit. Dr. Homer Faber will be here in a minute. Dr. Homer Faber, of course, is a former dean of the School of Urban Studies and Human Development here at Morgan State University, also a member of the Goon Squad, which we'll talk about, the name that was given to them that they wore with honor, even though it was derogatory when they were given to him. And the Reverend Wendell Phillips joins us from North Carolina. Of course, you remember Wendell. He was here, political activist in Baltimore. His father was a great activist and minister as well. And Lalit and Wendell, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Good to be here. Good to be here. Hey, Mark and Anthony, how are you both?
Hey,
really
Wendell.
Well.
Great,
great
to hear
your
talk
voices.
To you.
410-319-8888 is the number. Now, we know that over the weekend, Reverend Marion Bascom passed away, had a heart attack. Now, just a little bit about Marion Bascom from my perspective, and then we'll open it to our guests and hope that we can reach Dr. Faber, because we really want to...
He actually died Friday morning.
Friday morning?
Mm-hmm.
I was away this weekend.
That's right.
I was back to late
Long
Sunday night, so I'm
weekend,
sorry about
that's
that.
Right. No, I just want to...
But now, when I was a young man, a very, very young man, a boy actually, and I was in the civil rights movement, it was people like Vernon Dobson and Marion Bascom who opened their church's doors to the civil rights movement when no other preachers, black or white, would do it in the city out of fear of what that meant to people who were conducting sit-ins, voter registration, the Freedom Rides, going to Cambridge, Maryland, Route 40 to the Freedom Rides, Cambridge, Maryland, to be with Gloria Richardson, working out of those churches, letting those churches be our home, our refuge, and where our offices were, like at Sharp Street Methodist Church for the civic interest group that I was part of. And so I've known those men since I was a little boy in those movements. And Marion Bascom was one of those very special people. We did a lot of tapes with Lalit Gadia, Marion, Homer, Vernon Dobson, to get those stories on tape. And we have them. We'll be playing them in the coming months for all of you to reflect on those. So I'd just like you both to reflect for a moment. Lalit, I'll start with you and then go to Wendell and Anthony, the Reverend Anthony McCarthy. We'll jump in here as well in a moment. To talk to us a bit about your reflections, Lalit, on Marion Bascom and that period.
Well, let me start out by saying that I met Marion Bascom in late 1962 at the same place for the first time where I saw him the last time, which was just a few weeks ago. And that was at Douglas Memorial Community Church, when there was a tribute given for his service by the church, and it was well attended tribute. So over a period of about 49 years, I had the privilege of knowing Marion and getting involved with him in all the activities that were for the benefit of all. Because his involvement was like Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi type of involvement. He was broad in his perspective, well-read, scholarly person, immaculately attired, three-piece suit usually, with a bow tie, and jovial, always willing to listen to the points of view expressed by others, and genteel in his approach. He and I became closer and closer. I was introduced to him by my friend Homer Faber, by the way. And in 1965, we worked together to establish a summer campership program at the camp farthest out that was the property owned by Douglas Memorial Church. And Homer and I worked together to help set up a program which resulted in providing campership to inner city children for a long time. And it was a program that also included remedial reading and math and increased the educational levels of children who were able to participate in that.
So, Lalit, we're going to turn here to Wendell Phillips to have his reflections. And I just want to warn you that my producer is going to pick up the phone to make sure we have the right number for Homer that I gave her so we can make sure we get Homer Favor on this program. So hold on. We're going to come right back to you, but she's going to pick up the phone and Kay's going to get the number again from you. And Wendell, I called out to you today because we've known each other for a while, but you are like you're a child of the men we're talking about, raised in that world.
Right, right. It was interesting. I'm not even. I guess I have to say I've known them all of my life. You know, Lolly throughout 49 years, and I'm 48 now, so I guess, you know, I knew them before I knew me. They were just always there. And you kind of take it for granted, or it could be easily taken for granted. But, you know, I'm looking and you know, I just realized how blessed I was to be at these folks' feet and just to be able to see all this stuff firsthand, and it's amazing how much of it gets into you. Before you know it, you open your mouth and you say, "Wait a minute, that sounds like somebody else I've heard before." Or that sounds like something of the same kind of things that interest, you know, them. When you see them, you become a lot more attuned to actually what's going on in the community. And here I am, you know, now in Greensboro, North Carolina. Where all those folks are saying, a lot of folks will say the birthplace of the sit-ins, and right on A&T's campus, which, you know, here I find myself right back in it again. And they're just a, you know, fantastic group of men to have grown up with. And, you know, I was lucky enough and blessed enough to have my heroes right there at arm's length. And, you know, I do whatever I can for them, and I'm still learning to this day. From the things that they've done. Uncle Marion, I call them all uncles.
Right.
You know, I was the only child, so you pick up family wherever you go. so they're all uncles to me. And Uncle Marion, along with everything that Lolly just mentioned, you know, he's also an impeccable sense of time, always on time. I mean, so much so that he had a collection of clocks in his house all the time. So he was not only an impeccable dresser, but very much a very punctual person, which hopefully when we get Uncle Homer on, that would be one of their pet peeves back and forth. As on time as Uncle Marion was, Uncle Homer was on the other end of the spectrum, but always on time.
And it's for his back. You see, back in the day, so young people understand today. Back in the day, men were clean.
Everybody else would be on time.
Dr. Homer Favor, I understand you're with us.
Hello, yes I am. How you doing, Mark?
I'm great, Homer. How are you?
It's been a little while.
It has been too long, my friend. Much too long. You sound wonderful.
They've eaten up most people like you, not too many left.
I'm not down for the count yet. So
the war on this and the war on that and the war on the other thing, and we wind up with all the good people gone and the bad people in charge.
Well, we're here to try to keep the truth going as much as we can.
Yeah. How
job,
you been?
Mark.
Good?
I'm doing really well, Dr. Favor. I'm doing really well, really well. And that it's going to be my business to pick up Lalit and drive over to your house and pick you up, and we'll go have a very long dinner or lunch together soon.
Oh, we got to do that. We have to do that real soon.
So, Dr. Favor, I'd like you to kind of reflect a bit on Marion Bascom for us and that period of time, because your voices as men who lived through that. And what I said at the beginning of the show, Homer, was that when I was a young boy of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, and I was a young civil rights worker in the state of Maryland, it was the Reverend Bascom's church and the Reverend Dobson's church the places that gave us refuge and a home to work out of. They were ministers who were unafraid to take on the civil rights movement, because many ministers, black or white, in Baltimore were afraid, but these men were not.
Well, they became independently and collectively my best friends, and primarily for the reason that you cited, because they were adept at caring for someone beside themselves. Far too many of us have gotten caught up in consumerism, given avarice and greed and lust and admiration of the corporate model, which is raping the nation. But these men wanted the ushering in of the millennia to bring about the kind of change that makes man love man and honor his God, however defined. And so you had to love them if you had any humanity left in you at all, and that's what I wound up doing. Marion was, sorry to say, we had a leader because we just appointed the elder. That was Frank Williams. And we were pejoratively known as the Goon Squad, but like the Christians, who were called Old Christ Followers, they adopted that as a badge of honor.
Right.
And a new jacket became a piece to wear with the distinction. So it's called, that's what we are, the Goon Squad. But these 11 men that were, until a day or so ago, there were five of us left, but now there are four. And they gave unstintingly of their lives to trying to make Baltimore a better city, Maryland a better state, and the nation a better nation. And each one in his own way joined forces together, and benefiting by the socialization process, so that we all grew through the exchange of ideas and the like. And it's just Marion leaving so suddenly. It wasn't quite as sudden as it seemed, because you recall, Mark, the Good Friday services that we had.
Yes.
Over the years. And at the Good Friday service, he did something that no one had ever done before. He had all the ministers leave the pulpit and come down to the first row at the end of the service. And he charged them by pointing out that this observance was started by he and Josh Williams out of Pittsburgh some 50 years ago. And that he called the rule as to all the Baltimore ministers who had participated. You had to be a pastor in order to be on the program. But they were all persons who gave significantly with their great minds and their devotion to that which is right and just. He called the rule, and I sat there with Blair Simon's widow. I don't know if you remember Blair or not, but mm-hmm. He was quite active at one point, and he's gone on to glory, but his widow always comes to those Good Friday services. And I said to her, I said, Marion is bidding us goodbye. He had never done anything like that. And he told each preacher how proud he was of them and how much he loved them, and that they were standing on the shoulders of these other people that had sought to make the city a better place. And when I look at what happened at our inception, in fact, I just wrote a little piece dealing with it. In the city of Baltimore that I came to in 1956, there was one black in the city council and one in the legislature. There were no blacks working in supermarkets, department stores, real estate, any endeavor of significance. Not a single black could find employment. We didn't do anything according to the newspapers except things that were criminal in nature. We didn't marry. We didn't have gatherings. We didn't do any kind of things that people do according to them. So it was this dismal, oblique, just devastating morass that we found about 60% of the population caught up in, that troubled each of us individually and brought us together collectively. And we set out to do something about the rest of history because we put Perrin Mitchell in Congress in the first place. And
that's right.
Put Joe Howard on the Supreme Bench in second place. And when he passed away, he had been elevated with the support of Paul Sarbanes to the federal judiciary and did an outstanding job there as he did down in the lower courts. And Perrin, as you know, garnered the national, international recognition as a signal congressman. We did all those things, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. At one point, Mark, not too long ago, I don't know if it's still the case, we had more blacks sitting in the legislature than any state in the union, despite its size. And we're a small state. All of that came out of this explosion, which caused us to band together and put people in office who recognized that the lowest among us deserved better treatment. And unfortunately, when I look at Citizens United and all the other kind of nonsense coming out of the plutocracy and the corporate America to curse and damn this nation, I wonder if our contributions can survive the whole Holocaust. There's assault against labor. There's assault against the poor. There's assault against education. It bothers me as I take leave of, as Marion takes leave of us, with the four of us left and people like you to help. Vernon and I are not of much use these days. We can only advise and counsel and hope that we have something worth us.
Well, Dr. Faber, let me just say the advice and counsel of you and Vernon Dobson and the others, the leader, that your voice needs to be heard. And I'm dedicated to anything in the time that you have left with us and the time that we have left here is to make sure that voice gets heard, because we all have to hear it to learn what happened then to make it happen again and make it keep happening. And Anthony McCarthy, let me bring you in here. We're going to get to a couple of phone calls we've called in too, but let me try to – I know you have something
quickly,
to say.
Very quickly, yeah. I remember coming to Baltimore from the White House. I came to Baltimore, went to work at the Afro-American newspaper, and soon after getting here
– As editor.
I wasn't editor when I first went. I was just a beat reporter, and they sent me to interview Marion Bascom, and I got there 5 minutes early. And he had this big grin on his face, and he told me the last time an Afro reporter came to see him, he didn't talk to him. And I said, well, why would that be? Because I didn't know all the history. He said, because he was late getting here.
That's right.
He said, you're going to do okay, Anthony McCarthy. You're going to do okay. He was an incredible human being. Incredible human being.
So let me go to the phones. We only have like 6 or 7 minutes left. So let me get a quick phone call and hear some closing thoughts from Wendell Phillips, Ali Gaddi, and Homer Favor. 410-319-8888. Michael, you're on the air.
Michael, you there?
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Michael Johnson.
Hey,
how are you?
Mike Johnson. How are you? And hey, Wendell, and of course, my professor there. You know, I was one of the six-year-olds that went with Reverend Bascom to Gwin Oak Park when we integrated Gwin Oak Park on the 4th of July in 63. And I remember how my father, who was a accustomed Southern Baptist, didn't really always want his kids, and I was young as 11, to be around a lot of things. But he would always say that a great man is always willing to be little. And he got a chance to meet Reverend Bascom, and he trusted him. And you would have to imagine how much trust you would have to somebody to give him your six-year-old child, to take him down in front of a vicious, violent crowd, down at Gwin Oak Park on the 4th of July, just so that we could integrate a park. And that showed you the type of man that not only the entire Goon Squad was as men, but just the fact of Reverend Bascom, that my father would trust him. And I've always been fortunate, and now I'm fortunate enough to always see my good doctor there, I was a student of his at Morgan State University, Wendell Phillips. The pastor, who Wendell Phillips Jr. is on the phone, knows I was very, very fond of. And these men, to watch these men, and yep, how much we miss that type of leadership, not only from leadership in the city, but definitely from the pulpit. He will be missed from me, because it was because of him and the gentleman that you're speaking with that I've had a chance to be as sometimes tough than I need to be and sometimes as hard that I need to be, but I just will always appreciate them for what they do. And, Mark, this is a great show, and to let you know that on September the 8th at the Forum, and I need to catch up with Wendell shortly, we are having a breakfast for the surviving members of the Groom Squad to celebrate their time, their history. And
we're almost out of time, but what's the date? What is the date, Michael?
It's September the 8th.
Okay.
At the Forum. It's a breakfast, and you'll be catching them. Well, we're putting all of the stuff together, and I'll be getting to Wendell really shortly because
right,
we get
Michael,
all of the pictures.
We're almost out of time here, so we got to. But I wanted to hear let Homer, Wendell, and Lalit have a quick final say because we're literally almost out of time, which is 3 minutes left. Let me start.
Mark, just let me say that people like young Mike and young Wendell give me hope that our actions were not in vain. One of the things that we always did to every man was to believe in our young people, although they have been written off constantly. And if you read Michelle Alexander's book, you see what the data are pertaining to this vicious assault under the guise of war on drugs that's led to the decimation of our young people. And people like Mike and Wendell, young Wendell, and others give me hope that it's not in vain, that they too, God will rise up another. If I don't praise, the rocks will cry out. I'm sure that he'll be praised.
Thank you, Dr. Homer Faber. We only have a couple of minutes left. Lalit, we literally have 2 minutes. You want to give us a thought as well?
He was a great civil rights leader, and in his passing, I have lost a dear friend, but we have lost a servant of people.
We have done that. And the young Reverend Wendell Phillips.
Yes, indeed. It's, again, I mean, my hat's off. I mean, every day I'm trying to these folks keep me grounded and always let me know that there's something more to be done. Someone wiser than me once said that if your goals that you set for yourself you can accomplish in a lifetime, they're not big enough. So I think, you know, the work that they've done and continue to do continues to inspire folks in my generation, and I've got, you know, young daughters that I've got to lead for and stand in the gap and continue it on and pass it on to them as well, because this work will be lifelong and beyond.
So I want to thank Wendell Phillips for joining us here at the last second. It's great to have him here. Look forward to seeing him again. And I really love the fact that Dr. Homer Faber and Lalit Khadia were here with us, and both Homer and Lalit, thank you so much. Love you both, and we will be in touch very soon.
The pleasure is mine, Mark. The pleasure is mine. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Homer. Lalit. And let me just say again, our farewell, but really, Marion Bascom will always live in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and the earth, in the streets of this community, that he is a giant, gentle, powerful human being, a man. Marion Bascom, we loved you, and thank you for the service you've given our community. And I appreciate his dear close friends, Homer Faber, Lady Cadia, and Wendell Phillips for joining us. And, of course, my dear friend, Anthony McCarthy, here in the studio as always.
Thanks, Mark.
On the way out of here, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Information is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Harrison, Justin Levy, and welcoming Mark Gunnery. Someone else will be being welcomed very soon as well. Our assistant producer is Cassandra Monsanto. Our interns are Alexis Seth, Alex Pearson, and Tiffany Means. We're engineered by Regis Ducker. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find the information about our guests and the work they do, visit us over at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, stay tuned for Marsha Reeves-Jews. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.